Good morning, everyone. Let's dive into the Word and just ask the Lord to bless us this morning. First of all, I'd like to thank the church and the leadership for inviting me to be your morning speaker. So I would really ask all of you to pray for the church this morning at San Mateo, the Gate International, as one of the brothers are going to lead the Word this morning at the church. So if you can pray for that, that would be really appreciative. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Father, we praise you. Father, we worship you. We thank you for the finished work of Calvary. We thank you for anointing us and sending us into the highways and the byways, to all the spheres of influence around us, that we can preach the gospel so that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and the end will come. Thank you for the harvest. And we join our voices to the many that are suffering away from Christ. And we pray that you bless this morning, bless the word, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you open with me, please, to Matthew chapter 24. And starting with verse 18, you have it on in your bulletin. And I'm going to read it from your bulletin, because I do have the New King James Version. But it says, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." One of the last words that Christ have uttered before he ascended into heaven. And I'm very familiar with it, and I believe many of you are aware of these verses. They are very powerful words that have been spoken through Jesus Christ to the disciples and passed on to all the disciples in generations to come. It's a command. It's the will of Jesus. And the first word is, Christ describes and declares that all authority has been given to me on earth and in heaven. And when we think about the word authority, we have to know one thing, is that all authority is located in God. Within this world, there are different authorities that family, fathers and mothers exercise authority on children, civil authority, government, schools, different authority. But the ultimate authority, all authority, compiled together, belongs to God, and he's the one who delegates and gives his rule to his disciples. And when we think about that, we think about the definition of authority. According to the Greek language, the definition of authority is exousia, which is rightful, actual, and unimpeded power to act or to possess, to control, to use, to dispose of something or somebody. It's the power that is lawful to exercise. In other words, authority means, in simple words, freedom to decide and power to act without hindrance. It refers to the power of God in the scripture right here, the ability and the capability to command. There are many levels, as I said, but the ultimate and all authority belongs to Christ. And he delegates the right to rule and to lead. So we accept this because the scripture has commanded that. The scripture has revealed the command of the Lord that all authority has been given to him. And the authority that was given to him, it was rightfully his because Christ has finished the work and he won the victory over death and sin and Satan and over the whole world. And he established his position again as a son of man, through his death and resurrection, and he is described as the Lamb of God. The Bible says this, that therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. In Revelation 5:3, it says, no one was able to open the scroll and look at it. The only one that was able to open the scroll is the Lamb that was slain, and that's Jesus Christ, that was given honor and blessing and glory and power. So when Christ is declaring, all authority has been given to me, wow, we think that every single authority over heaven, earth, and under the earth has been dispatched to Christ, and he passes it on to each one of us. That's why he said to them in Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and all the power of the enemy shall not harm you. Another place in Mark 16:17, Jesus declared that authority by saying, and these signs will follow those that believe. And he declares that in my name, you will cast out devils, you speak with new tongues, you will take up serpents or poison, it will not harm you, you will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And we declare that these words that Christ has spoken is releasing authority to his disciples. I remember a story when I was in Jordan a few years ago. In the middle of the night, I received a phone call from one of the brothers asking for help. And the situation was that his younger brother, who's about 24 years old, is being tormented by the spirit of terror. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that, but it's the sense of always sensing fear, whether you go to sleep and you cannot be without some people around you. You're always being tormented by fear. So I came around 12 o'clock midnight to this house that was in one of the neighboring cities. And lo and behold, the young man was being tormented by the spirit of fear. He would not leave his brother alone. He would not sleep in the bedroom alone. He would not go out into the city alone. He was just always in fear and terror. And it was not the normal thing that you see in everyday life. And so I took him to the bedroom, and I was just trying to find out where did the enemy has come in what venue. And it turned out that he was dabbling with a lot of sexual sins, and that's the open door where the enemy came in and took hold of him. And so while I was ministering to him in confession and just praying for him for deliverance, all of a sudden I hear this big knock on the door and of the room. And so I was inquiring. Turned out that his mother in the other room started manifesting with other demons. And all of a sudden, she fell on the floor and she started convulsing. And so I was with a couple of brothers. They have never seen anything like this. Probably I've never seen anything like this myself. So we started exercising authority in the name of Jesus. Lo and behold, within a few minutes, by the authority of the name of Christ, the demons and the mothers came out. She was whole again. And all of a sudden, we started ministering to this brother. He was set free. And after a couple of years right now, following up with them, they're still free and delivered and following Jesus Christ. So the story tells me that there's an authority that Christ has given us, not in our own name, but in his own name, and in the name of Jesus, and by the authority of the scripture, that demons and devils have to obey the command and the authority of Jesus in the believer. One other definition is that the right or power to require obedience. When we talk about authority, I just wanted to linger a little longer on that, because it's very important for us to understand that the authority belongs to every believer. It's given through Christ Jesus to every believer in order to preach the gospel to the nations. And so it's the right or power to require obedience. One To exercise authority, one must be under authority. Obedience is in the heart of mission. If Jesus said, if you love me, obey my word or keep my commandment. It's a sign, obedience is a sign of love and submission. When one learns to submit to Christ and to his word, then one can be able to exercise the privilege and the power of the word of Christ and the authority of Christ. Remember the story in Luke 7:7? It says the centurion came to Jesus seeking Christ for deliverance and healing over his servant. And then the centurion said these words, I'm a man under authority, and I say to my soldiers, do this and do that, and they do it. And Christ looked at him and looked at his disciples, and he said, this man is a man of great faith. So we find out that when you're under the authority of Christ, then you are able to exercise the authority of Christ, then you are able to move in the power of great faith. And therefore Jesus said, your prayer has been answered because all authority has been given to me. And the second word that I want to emphasize is the word go. All authority has been given to me, therefore go. And the word go here is Jesus is saying these words. Now that I've done this, now that I have all authority, you can go in my name. Because now authority is granted to me, therefore go and exercise it in advancing my kingdom. Go in my name, go and by faith activate what I have granted unto you. Go requires some understanding. The first thing I want to say about go is that it requires willingness, to be willing. In Isaiah, when he heard the voice of the Lord, Isaiah cried out, here I am, send me, Lord. It also, the word go requires equipping. Requires for us to be equipped, to understand who you are, and to understand who Christ is, and to grow in intimacy with God and his word, and with his people. It's very important for you to understand how to be equipped in being intimate, totally abiding in Christ and his word. Because when you go out there, you are battling spiritual darkness that you need Christ and you need the Holy Spirit and you need the word of God to be in you, like the armor of God or the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to go out there and to bring the gospel to others. Another side of requirement of the goal is that you need to understand the people that you are targeting. And whom do I go to? Who are the people that God is asking me to go to? We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And the last thing is it requires ascending. Requires ascending. As Jesus Christ sent them two by twos, and then he tells them, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So when he's saying to us, go, he's sending us. In Romans 10, if you open with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How they shall believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So we know in the heart of go, we know that there is the heart of sending. The heart of sending. Christ said, as the Father sent me, so I sent you. In the same privilege that the Father has given me, I give to you. That's why he dispatches, all authority have been given to me, therefore go. I remember a brother that was in San Francisco, in the Bay Area. He was with us for 20 years, being discipled. And he kept reaching out. God just put on his heart to have this evangelistic spirit. So he was reaching out to the community around us, day and night, reaching out, seeing no results. But he was faithful. He was always going. He was always sharing the gospel. He was always passing tracts and Bibles. He was reaching out to the Arabic-speaking people in the Bay Area, and he was finding it very challenging. Because of his faithfulness, God promoted him. And so 2 years ago, we prayed for him and released him to go to Dallas. His wife lives in Dallas. Her family live in Dallas. He really didn't want to go to Dallas. But at the end, he decided, okay, Lord, if this is the direction that you have for me, I'm going to obey. So he went to Dallas with tears in his eyes, not knowing what the Lord prepared for him. The minute he landed in Dallas, all of a sudden this person approached him and said, you know, the second greatest population of refugees that have come from Iraq and from Syria are located in Dallas, right there where you're at. Would you like to take the baton and just start ministering and to open a center? All of a sudden, like heaven opened up before him. So he established a center about 2 years ago. And we went down and we had the opening and we prayed for him. He connected to many churches, both Arabic and English speaking. And he started reaching out to the refugees which are across the street by the thousands. Well, about a week ago, I was calling because I keep following up with him in prayer and just encouraging him and seeing where he's at. He said, Pastor, I want to tell you good news. I said, what? He said, we had a picnic. And in the picnic, we expected about 300 Muslims to show up. But instead of 300, 450 Muslims showed up. And we had food, we catered food, Arabic food for everyone, Middle Eastern food for everyone. He said, but in the middle of this picnic, we stood up and we preached the gospel in Arabic openly to 450 Muslims. Pastor, I wish you were there to see the Muslims coming to the front to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he said, we started a Bible study about like a few months ago, and there's only 9 Muslims that have showed up to the Bible study, and they are hungering for God. They ask all kinds of questions. He said, Pastor, overnight, now we have 35 added. So altogether, we have about 40 people that are Muslims that are learning the word of the living God. And that is when Hadi stepped into it and he went for it. He went from San Francisco to Dallas to hear the cry of God among those people. All of a sudden, God opened the door and gave him a soul. So to go does not mean just to go on small mission trips, which is great, wonderful. Go means to always be ready daily to reach the world around you. Go means look around you and start with Jerusalem. And God will promote you. Just like Hadi started here in the Bay Area, all of a sudden in Jerusalem, all of a sudden God took him to Dallas. And maybe the Lord will take him to another place next. We don't know. But it's a lifestyle of evangelism. But the real emphasis here in the scripture is not on the word go, even though that is very important. The real emphasis here is on making disciples. If you look at the scripture again with me, it says, go and make disciples of all men. Many can go and make no disciples. But the question here that we need to look into the scripture is what was in the heart of Jesus? What was in the heart of Jesus is that make disciples of all nations. That's very interesting. Christ was not looking just for converts, but he was looking for disciples who are willing to embrace the gospel, to embrace the message and the finished work of Calvary, and to receive the authority by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to obey all his teaching. Matter of fact, Christ condemned the making of converts in Matthew 23:15. He rebuked the teachers of the law and the Pharisees for traveling over land and sea to win a single convert, and when they became one, they made him twice as much as sons of hell. Many can convert, but not many can become disciples. Now, when a lot of Muslims come to the Lord, they call them converts. And then later on, the words was changed. In the Arabic, they call them converts, and the words was changed because we didn't need converts. We just didn't need people changing religion. We need people to be transformed. So the word that came across all the Middle East is that Muslims that have come from a Muslim background and have become Christians, they are called the ones that have passed over and crossed over. That means they have crossed from slavery to sonship. That means they've crossed from a life of darkness into a life of the kingdom. That means they were slaves. Now they become sons and disciples of the King of Glory. Also, Christ was looking for disciples. As you notice in Matthew 5:1, he started looking for disciples. In the meantime, he was discipling everybody. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, you'll find something that's very intriguing in the scripture. It says that, I'm going to open it real quick. You're going to open it with me. It says in Matthew chapter 5, the verse, and Jesus, seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and he, when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and he started sharing everything about the kingdom. He was discipling the multitudes. And then he said, the disciples came to him. Well, at that moment, Jesus has not chosen his disciples. In other words, Jesus was discipling everyone, but looking for those that will hunger for him. Christ attracted the crowd, looking for potential disciples. Before they truly became followers of Christ, he started discipling them, and he taught them, and he discipled them, believing that they will be one day true disciples. Who are you discipling around you? Who are you sharing the message of the love of Christ around you? We are called into the marketplace to disciple people. Discipling is not just within the church. It's not just a class. Discipling is a lifestyle where we share the testimony and the story of Jesus with everybody around us. Discipleship is reaching out and touching a need of people around you. Discipleship is when you sit in a cafe and you look at somebody and you open conversation with them. And all of a sudden the conversation would lead into meeting their need or sharing a story. That's how Jesus started sharing, and that's what happened with me. At the age of 16, I moved in with my aunt. She started sharing with me about the wonderful stories of Jesus. I had no idea about being born again. I had no idea that Jesus is the answer for my eternal life. I had no idea who Christ is. But she started sharing. She started ministering to me. She started praying for me. She was reaching out in a discipleship pattern to somebody that is a non-believer. And after a few months, all of a sudden, my eyes were open. And I realized that Christ is the Savior of the world. He is the only one that has paid the price for my sins. And all of a sudden, I opened my heart and I repented and I asked him into my heart, where now truly, when he came into my life, truly I committed myself into following him as a disciple. Remember that Jesus went into prayer after many, many days. After many, many days of discipling the crowds, he went into prayer overnight in order to choose the 12 disciples. He realized, after he chose them, that they are hungering for God. They are willing to follow. They're not just believing. They are willing to obey the gospel. They did not understand everything, but they trusted him. And they trusted his word. And they were willing to have a relationship with him that resulted in a lifestyle of obedience to his commandment. The Bible says, make disciples of all nations. And you can start where you're at. And then, all of a sudden, the Lord will reveal to the disciples, to the people that you're discipling, that Christ is the answer. I remember the story, what happened about 2 years ago in our church. We started reaching out to the Farsi people, Iranian people. They have come from Iran. They hardly spoke English. Through translation, we adopted them. We started sharing with them many, many things. We helped them. And then we started sharing with them the story of Jesus. And we were, in a sense, discipling them, even though they weren't Christians yet. And so we started sharing with them. And it took a few months until they realized, wow, Christ is the only hope for them. And then about 20 of them opened their hearts to Jesus Christ and got baptized in water. And they are still followers. Not only followers, but they are disciples who are reaching other disciples in Jesus Christ. Then the disciple can be from all nations, not just from a selective people group. Discipleship is a process. So when Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all men, it's a process. It can start before salvation. And it can grow into salvation and into obedience to the commandment of Christ in relationship with the Holy Spirit. To trust the Word of God. To model Christ in this world and in His church. The first sign of obedience is when somebody repents and asks Christ into his heart. And they turn from their sins unto Christ. But have you noticed how Jesus Christ said, go into all the world and make disciples of all men. And the first thing he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why water baptism is so rooted in discipleship? Because the water baptism is a response of obedience. In other words, the first sign of outward obedience to the scripture and to the commands of Jesus is water baptism. It's the outward sign of an inward change to testify that you are a follower of the resurrected Messiah. You are His, you are to follow Him, you are to obey His commandment. And the Bible says His commandments are not weighty, they're not burdensome, they are joyful. When we obey the commandment of the Lord, then all of a sudden we're going to be able to experience the results and the benefits of the kingdom. When we talk about water baptism, we know a few things about water baptism. It's a declaration of Christ's finished work. It's a declaration of an obedience that the followers of Christ are exemplifying. Not only that, but it testifies that we are pledging an allegiance to the one true God who manifests Himself as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see the Trinity there. And you are no longer on your own, but now you belong to the family of God, to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And from there, you express your gratitude. In water obedience, it's a testifying to the world that I belong no longer to myself and to the old system. I belong to the kingdom of God. I belong to a higher system. And therefore, I testify that Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And not only that, but I testify that I am willing to be obedient to the first commandment of Christ, because the Bible says, if you love me, you obey my commandment. And when I obey his commandment, it's an expression of my love and my gratitude to him. I've noticed sometimes when I'm ministering among the Arabic speaking people in the Bay Area, is that after we share the gospel with them and they get excited about eternal life and they open their heart and they repent and they ask Christ into their heart, then we start introducing water baptism. And all of a sudden, we saw just a few times that people put up a wall. And they say, no, I don't want to be water baptized because I was baptized when I was an infant. Or I was baptized when I was young. Or I was baptized into this religion or into this sect or whatever. And then we continued to bring the water baptism forefront. And we noticed that they could not, some of them could not obey the first commandment. As a result of not training yourself to obey the first commandment, what happened down in their walk with God, all of a sudden they start compromising the gospel. All of a sudden they start turning away from God. All of a sudden they start worrying about their family, worrying about other people, they say. All of a sudden their life gets to be compromised because they never trained themselves to be obedient. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you obey me. And obedience is at the root of the commission of discipleship. Many have hard times following him in obedience. But I believe when you obey, God opens heaven, and then the authority will start getting exercised. Discipleship should be contagious. True disciples must begot other disciples, and so on and so on. Not just to have a class of learning, but to equipping disciples through discipleship, which requires this relationship with one another. Relationship between disciple and disciple. Relationship that is engaging and become part of one another. And I believe, how many of you by a show of hand, how many of you know 3-4 people around you that are not believers? Praise the Lord. Those are the people you disciple. It's simple. It's not really hard. Sharing your life story with them. Sharing your love with them. The love of Christ. Praying for them, encouraging them. So it is about accountability. It's about one disciple reaching out to another. Discipleship is not just a teaching, but it's observation. Look, Jesus said, and teach them to observe. It's very important, the word, to observe all things. In other words, teach them to obey and to recognize the ways of my kingdom, to recognize my word. And the importance to be obedient to the word of God. I want you to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I want you to teach your disciples to be truly followers who are living in obedience to my commandment. And so it requires developing faith through the word of God to obey it. When I read the word of God, I obey it. By the way, there are some things called individual obedience where every individual is accountable to God for being obedient to the word of God according to their need, according to their situation. There's something called corporate obedience where God calls the church according to revelation for the church to rise up and to obey him according to some things within the church. But either way, obedience is the heart of the gospel of being true disciples. Remember the story of Adam. What was the reason Adam and Eve fell? It's because they disobeyed. Let me ask you, how did Abraham get promoted? Because Abraham obeyed. He left everything and followed the Lord. In obedience, it will make it or break it. Your obedience is a true sign of love. Jesus said, if you obey me, you love me. That's a true sign of love. So true love is not in words or feelings, but in obedience to Christ and his command. Our action, our motives, our willingness to follow him is a true sign of love. Christ spoke about a parable to the crowd, and he said to them, how to enter into the kingdom of God, how to experience the power of the kingdom of God. He said to them, what do you think? A father had two sons. He asked the first one to go work in the vineyard, and he said, I will, but did not. And then he asked another son, and he said, will you work in my vineyard? And the other son said, no, I don't want to. I won't. But he did. And then Jesus asked the question, which one did the will of his father? And the crowd answered and they said, the one who did answer. The one that was willing. The one that was obedient at the end. And then Jesus said, that's how you can enter the kingdom of God. That's how you will experience the power of the kingdom. Obedience to Christ's word is the entrance into the kingdom and all its privileges and all its authority. As we look at this, disciple is the heart of the Great Commission. I believe if every one of us started reaching out with the mindset that we're reaching out to disciples, maybe potential disciples, and we started sowing in them like what my aunt did, the stories of Jesus, loving them, not forcing them, not terrorizing them with our gospel about eternal hell, but just loving them and telling them the good news. After all, the Bible says that we are the ones who are blessed because we have the feet that goes on mountains spreading good news, the gospel of grace, praying for people's need, crying with them like Jesus did, wash their feet, feeding them, embracing them, That is discipleship. All of a sudden, these people will, their eyes will open and recognize that beyond you, there's a power that's inside of you, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit that's working through you in order to bring hope, deliverance, healing, salvation through Jesus Christ to the hearts of the people around you. Discipleship is not, again, information and just education about biblical and historical knowledge. These are great, but that's not discipleship. Discipleship is to do what he commanded. The root of discipleship is a relationship, deep relationship with Jesus Christ that transforms our hearts, mind, and behavior to be all what he taught us and commanded us to be through the aid of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. If we then are willing to change by the Word of God and the help of the Holy Spirit, then we can, 100%, no doubt, all of a sudden impact every area of our lives and the people that are surrounding us. And I want to close with this. And he says at the end of that, Matthew 28, he says these, if you open there with me. And he said, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is good news. He did not leave us. He did not abandon us. He did not just give us his authority. And he did not just give us his gospel and told us that, go and just do it by yourselves. No. He said, I am going to be with you through the Holy Spirit. My word is with you. My name is with you. I have heaven at your dispense answering you. He will never forsake us, but his presence are in us and through us. We are his disciples that are given authority to go and make disciples of all nations, to teach them to be obedient to the commandment of Christ, which is a sign of his love. But if we look at something that I noticed in Mark that was just amazing, Mark 16, at the end of Mark it says this. I'm almost going to close with this. It says, so then, after he tells him about going to all the world, in verse 15, and preach the gospel to every creature, every person need to hear the gospel. Then he said, these signs will follow those that are believe after they get baptized in water. But he goes in verse 19, says, so then after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, which is the all authority was given to him in heaven, earth, under the earth. And then it gives us verse 20, which is an amazing verse that many people don't recognize sometimes. It says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. God was working with them and through them, confirming the word with signs and wonder. Praise the Lord. And then at the end it says, amen. So Jesus, when the closure of the Gospels said amen, we say, let it be done, Lord. Let this be done. So today I want to give an exhortation as I close in prayer. I encourage you as a church, that is one church of many churches of the body of Christ in the Bay Area, including the Gate, to rise up in the love of Christ and be willing to follow and obey the commandment of the Lord, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and to bring the story of Christ to every creature around you, every person around you. As each one of you become a true disciple and a true follower of Christ and his commandment, so you can move in his power and authority and make new disciples that are committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the good news is that, and lo, I am with you from now until the end of the age. Let's all stand up to pray. I want to read it, the scripture one more time. Jesus said, all authority. If you have your papers with you, could you read it with me? Let's all read it together and then I'll close and pray. Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.